Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today, October 26th, from the Mail Processing Center of the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And today we're covering a new booklet. It's not a new booklet, but a booklet that we haven't covered yet. It's titled The Lion Has Roared, Prophecy for Today from the Book of Amos. Let's look at the introduction, which is quite stunning. It says here, Christ is getting ready to return to earth. But how bad will events become before he arrives? The most powerful part of biblical Israel is compared to a sheep that has been attacked. And only two legs and a piece of an ear remain. Only one-tenth of these nations' inhabitants will survive. There is no stronger prophetic message in the Bible. Of the one who delivers it, Amos says, the land is not able to bear all his words. This is a prophecy for now. God must supernaturally protect his very elect from what is coming. Thankfully, all of these horrifying events lead to the return of Jesus Christ to rule this world forever. This is a booklet, The Lion Has Roared, written by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury. And the first chapter is titled, The End Is Come. What a way to start a booklet with a subhead like that, The End Is Come. The theme of this chapter seems to be two end time churches. Until recently, it was one unified church, but now only one group is loyal to God. There are shocking punishments outlined in this chapter, as is relayed to us in the book of Amos in the Bible. Amos chapter 8 talks about many dead bodies in every place. You can't hardly imagine a worse scene than that. Just bodies strewn everywhere. And as Mr. Fleury points out on page 2 of the booklet, this is a result of God's people keeping the Sabbath improperly and watering down the laws and traditions in his church. Let's notice the contrast between God's loyal people and God's rebellious people. Amos 6 verse 3 says, you that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near. So here's a group of people that just does not want to acknowledge reality. They don't want to look around and see that our nations are about to collapse. They don't want to acknowledge the sobering truth that our people are about to be extremely badly punished. So this is obviously talking about God's rebellious church. They don't care very much about prophecy anymore. Here's another part to just show you how different the two churches are. Amos 3 verses 6 through 8 is talking about God's loyal church. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Again, this is talking about God's loyal people. Only they know the meanings of prophecies in your Bible that are about to come to pass. God reveals the meaning, and then he carries out the prophecy. And it says here, when God roars, when the lion roars, his people should do the same. Look at the difference in focus. You have Amos 6 in verse 3 talking about God's rebellious people just basically hiding from the truth. They don't want to see the evils of our age and warn anyone about it. Meanwhile, Amos 3 verses 6 through 8 discuss a loyal church that does roar and does prophesy. On page 3 of the booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "The lion is a type of God, and when God roars, people must hear and respond, or pay a terrifying price. The lion has roared. His loyal people must prophesy." Notice there in Amos 3 and verse 7, it says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets." As Mr. Fleury brings out on page 4 of the booklet, the secret here is referring to Germany, a rising world superpower that is about to punish the modern descendants of the nations of Israel. And you can prove from our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, which you can find at thetrumpet.com, that these nations mainly consist of America, Britain, and the Jewish nation in the Middle East today. Just when these nations of Israel think that Germany has become their friend and forgotten about their violent history, Germany is going to betray them and punish them. This is not to say that we should have any animosity toward Germany or blame them for what they're doing, because God just uses them as a tool of correction. It's not their fault necessarily. Let's look at another example of God's rebellious people and their prophesy not attitude. This is in Amos 2 and verse 12. It's basically talking about prophets and how God's people are figuratively trying to give them wine to drink. They're trying to tell the prophets, "Why don't you just relax? Why do you have to tell us all this bad news all the time? Why don't you go ahead and prophesy not?" That is what God's rebellious people are saying. Meanwhile, God's loyal people can't help but do anything else. They're awake and they're aware of what is happening in the world and their part in warning people about it. On page 5 of the booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "A lion roars loudly when he is about to pounce on his prey. If the lion roared before that time, the prey would flee. This is the picture God wants us to see. It's about two of God's churches that don't agree and can't walk together. That is the context. It's discussing a split in the church of God." That's right. If you look at Amos 3, verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Amos 3 and verse 3. And that is basically a prophecy that God's church would split. And they have a major disagreement in focus and direction of their churches. Here on page 6 now, another great quote from Mr. Fleury. "The lion's roar and the trumpet of alarm symbolize this work of God's Philadelphia church. A trumpet is being sounded, not a violin. This trumpet is to sound the alarm of war and captivity. Trumpet blowing often signaled war in the Old Testament. This trumpet is the alarm of invasion. It's an alarm that should cause people to tremble. This is a time of great urgency. Israel and many of God's own people are asleep. Those of us who are responding to God must do all we can to blow the trumpet and warn people of what is coming upon Israel very soon." So that's another part of this first chapter of the Lion Has Roared booklet titled "The End Is Come." The first part we've just been talking about is God's two end-time churches, one loyal and one rebellious. But the other part is about how end-time Israel and Judah are punished. It's not just God's church that is going to be punished for its rebellion, but these nations of Israel that have had a history with God. They're the only nations that God has tried to work out his purpose through. So God expects more from them than he does from other nations. Pages 6 and 7 of the booklet talk about the coming great tribulation and how God is not going to show any mercy to these nations. Again, primarily America, Britain, and the Jewish nation. They're going to be punished worse than we could even imagine. There will be no mercy. There will be no chance for them to, as a whole, repent and avoid this punishment anymore. Of course, like I said, the reaction of God's loyal people to all of this punishment is, who can but prophesy? That's what we say. How could we do anything else? If you try to think of any other example of seeing oncoming danger and not saying anything, it's pretty difficult, really. If you have a child and your child's running toward the road, would you not say something about turning back, maybe getting that child to stop right there? I mean, obviously, you'd want to say something if you see danger approaching. But as a church, the rebellious church of God doesn't seem to care to do that anymore. Chapter 2 of the Lion Has Roared booklet is titled Adonai, Our Head Who Blesses. As page 9 brings out in this booklet, the biblical book of Amos is a book of doom, and that's according to the Anchor Bible. You can see that repeated there on page 9 of the booklet. Amos is a book of doom. And that is mostly true. There is a lot of bad news in the book of Amos. Let's read a quote here from page 9. The prophet Amos had a monumental task to grapple with in writing down the dark visions God gave him. He was a poet, and he sought to describe what he saw in the most vivid, descriptive language he could fashion. He wrote some very black poetry, the way the world would view it, adding a lot of poetic detail. His creative mind felt the full impact of what God revealed to him. That's why there are so many chilling images in this biblical book of Amos. We already read that one about the sheep with only a couple of body parts left over after a lion tears it apart. That is a vivid image, and we're about to look at a few more because it's not just a sheep that is described in Amos. Amos referred to Adonai, or the Godhead who blesses, 25 times in his book. That's more than the other 11 minor prophets combined. This is where we must focus to see the good news past all the doom. Adonai, the God who blesses. You can look at pages 9 through 11 of the booklet to have a greater description of Adonai. The God who blesses is actually responsible for the coming destruction. So how do you reconcile that title for God with the destruction that he is causing? Well, there must be a really spectacular purpose in that punishment. And you can look at that on page 13. God says that the nations of Israel are about to be destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah were. If you remember that story back in Genesis in the Bible, those two cities were unparalleled in terms of their sins, in terms of what we call today sodomy, because that is named after the city of Sodom, and their many horrific sins. They were basically living a lifestyle of unlimited excess and luxuries taken to the extreme, turning good things into bad things just by not having any sort of balance. Every sin you could imagine they committed. And how did God deal with them? Fire from heaven. He burned them to the ground, not a single survivor. And this is how God describes the coming punishment on the end time descendants of the nations of Israel, of the nation of Israel. There will be a 99% death rate in our major cities. You can read more about that on pages 13 and 14 of the booklet. You have to do a little bit of math, but thankfully Mr. Fleury does it for us on these pages. What could cause a 99% death rate in our major cities? You think of New York, Los Angeles, London, Chicago. How could 99% of all the people be killed? And really the only thing you could think of would be nuclear bombs. Another way to describe that could be fire from heaven, really. So you see the parallel there. Luke 17, verses 28 through 29 say, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Like I said, they were doing good things even in excess. Eating is not bad. Drinking is not bad. Buying, selling, planting, building, none of these things by themselves are bad. But if they're taken to the extreme, or if they become the main focus of our lives, they end up causing us to put physical things ahead of God. And that's not all they did. They weren't just turning good things into evil. They were doing things that are, in all cases, evil too. Look at that description too, the way that it's talking about how one moment they're just living their lives, they're enjoying their physical pleasures, and then the next moment, they're demolished. All seems well, then bang! Punishment comes. And it's all because nations won't repent. It's all because God's church won't repent. That's why the end time punishment is coming too. But there is a glorious purpose for strong correction. We have to remember that it is the Godhead who blesses that is causing this punishment. He is blessing through punishment, but we have to see the vision. We have to look past the punishment and understand the future that awaits. But right now, our nations, America and Britain, the Jewish nation, a lot of other modern descendants of ancient Israel, which you can, again, prove in the United States and Britain in prophecy, are all glutted on luxuries. God's church as well. They're living lives of leisure. And like Mr. Fleury brings out in this booklet, "The Lion Has Roared," they should be mourning. They should be able to see destruction coming upon them, danger approaching, annihilation around the corner. And yet they're not even aware of it. They need to wake up. That's why the Philadelphia Church of God warns them so powerfully. Like a roaring lion or a trumpet blast. Chapter 3 of this booklet is titled, "Christ Personally Appears." This has a direct connection to what we talked about last week with the Habakkuk booklet. The main focus of this chapter is the court case fought from 1997 through 2003 between God's church, the Philadelphia Church of God, and God's rebellious church, the Worldwide Church of God. Again, if you haven't heard that program yet or you're not familiar, this court case was fought over the rights to mystery of the ages. This was the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong's greatest book. He was also the founder of the Worldwide Church of God, but after he died in 1986, the church that he founded rebelled against that teaching, and they discontinued that book. The Philadelphia Church of God tried to hold fast to that book. They continued to print it under the Fair Use Clause, but then the Worldwide Church of God took them to court over it. So this chapter in the booklet, "Christ Personally Appears," proves to you that Jesus Christ came down from the third heaven, where he dwells on the right side are on the right hand of God, and he struck the Laodiceans in the head. He struck God's rebellious people in the head and forced them to submit. Again, you should definitely study this booklet for yourself. You should also go back and listen to that program from last week. Chapter 4 of the Lion Has Roared booklet is titled Famine of the Word. Let's read Amos 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Amaziah is an evil church leader, and he convinces the U.S. leader to say, prophesy not. Again, just like God's rebellious church has said, prophesy not. Now he's convincing a political head to say the exact same thing. The land is unable to bear your words. Prophesy not. And what's going to come soon after that, you can find in Amos 8, verse 11, is a famine of the word. God's word will be nowhere to be found. No one will be able to read God's truth anymore. It won't be available because they will have kicked God's people out of their nation. This is a quote from page 42 of the booklet. Soon, people will not be able to find any of these booklets. They won't be able to find any spiritual food. People will be crying out for someone to drop God's word, his revealed prophecies. But then it will be too late physically. God's very elect will be in a place of safety. Those who paid attention are going to realize what they didn't do and what they should have done. So finally, people who maybe have heard of this church and have heard of this warning message will realize that they should have taken action while there was still time. Chapter 5, I'll leave up to you as the reader to find out. We have covered a lot of dire prophecies about punishment today, but I've left the good news up to you, the reader, to go and study for yourself in this Lion Has Roared booklet. A powerful booklet. It's been talked about a lot recently here in God's church, and it's a great time to either review it, or if you haven't read it already, go ahead and do that for the first time. You can find yourself a copy at thetrumpet.com. It's available there to read right on the website. You can download a copy. You can order a physical copy. Next time here on the program, we will cover a booklet that is maybe not so related to this one. It's titled, The Financial Law You Can't Afford to Ignore. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.